We have a new facility that's state-of-the-art, safety and security are at the forefront, really focuses on helping people change their lives and being successful and protecting the community in the process.
The new prison complex will be one of the most state-of-the-art correctional facilities in the country, offering better treatment and rehabilitation services, safer conditions for prison staff, and technologies designed to reduce recidivism of inmates. Brian Nielsen, Executive Director of the Department of Corrections, is with us to talk about this new prison project and how this new facility will benefit not only inmates and correctional officers in our criminal justice system, but the state of Utah as a whole. Director Nielsen, thank you so much for taking the time today.
Good morning, Edward. Thanks for having me in. Okay.
So, Director, why don't you go ahead and just take a quick second to talk about your department specifically. Obviously, when most people think of Department of Corrections, they think of the prison, they think of the inmates down there in the current prison in Draper. Do you want to talk a little bit about what specifically your department does and what all is involved with your agency?
Yeah, thank you, Edward. Let's start with the two big operational divisions in our agency, and that's the prison operations that you talked about and also adult probation and parole. Adult probation and parole supervises over 18,000 people in our communities. So they're either on probation or parole, the bulk of them on probation, and then if they're sentenced to prison, they're released on parole. And so that's across the entire state. There are people in our communities that have been either convicted but they've been convicted of a crime and either sentenced to prison or sentenced to probation. And then once they're released from prison, they're released on that parole status, and we supervise them in the communities as well. So that's a statewide operation in APNP. And then the prison operation, we incarcerate just under 6,000 people in the state of Utah. So if you look at CUCF, that's the Central Utah Correctional Facility that's located in Gunnison, and USP, the Utah State Prison in Draper, that will be moving to Salt Lake, and it will be called the Utah State Correctional Facility. So we look at those number of inmates that we house, and our capacity, we partner with 20 of the county sheriffs to also house some state inmates, and that gives an opportunity for diversification of housing as well as programming opportunities around in those 20 jails around the state. So the sheriffs are a great partner to the Department of Corrections. It allows us to be strategic with both housing and programming, and really that partnership is very beneficial to both the state and the counties.
So one of the questions that we get a lot from members of the public and our constituents is why on earth are we actually moving the prison from Draper to Salt Lake? Now, many members of the public, they might not have ever in their life hardly any interaction with any members of your department, unless they're in trouble. And so there's a lot of members of the public that just aren't aware of what all goes on in the state prison, what the conditions are like. Can you talk a little bit about why we are moving the prison from Draper to Salt Lake?
You bet. So at the Draper facility, at the Draper site, that campus is 700 acres, give or take. Construction on the Draper site started in 1940, where they planned to move the state prison operation from Sugar House to Draper to move it from the population base into an area that didn't have a population base, move it out away from the city itself. There was big farm construction, farm operation out there and all those things. But they started construction about 1940, had to suspend construction for a few years during World War II because they didn't have labor or materials and needed to focus on that war effort during that time. And so they moved people from that Sugar House facility to the Draper site in 1951. So moved about 600 is what it housed. And so a lot of that prison facility dates back over 70 years. That prison site, they had a focus on helping people reenter, because even back then, most of the people sentenced to prison were released at some point. And so there were some programs that were offered there, but we need greater capacity for medical, mental health, and programming, which is the education and treatment and vocational skills that would help people be more successful when they're released under our parole supervision. And so the time has really come that campus is costing so much, and it's so degraded, and it's so behind the times. There are there are ways that we can house people and help them be more successful while they're incarcerated, have a more safe and secure environment, and a better living and working environment for both our staff and those that, that live in the prison.
So what sort of technological or modernized advantages does this new prison site have over the old one there at Draper?
Well, you can imagine with 70 years difference, you know, from the time it opened until where we are today. And so the forethought now really is medical, mental health, treatment, safety and security. And then we get into a lot of the features that really help it be successful. One of those is the amount of natural light and the actual views from housing units. It's not like going into a cave to work. So a lot of our correctional staff that work in the prison system now, they go to work, they'll work their 12-hour shift. They don't know if it's light or dark or raining or snowing or any of those things because of the environment that they work in. The new prison is very, very different. It is state-of-the-art. Safety and security are at the forefront, but also the operational is very different. The old prison system, you know, there are control rooms where the correctional staff will manage the area from a control room. They have some interaction with those incarcerated, and we have case managers and all those people. But the new facility is under a direct supervision model, which means that there are correctional staff in the housing units. It offers more safety and security for both the staff and those that are incarcerated because they interact all the time. They're continually interacting between our staff and those that are incarcerated. So they see the problems before things get out of hand or before there are fights or other violence or security issues or any of those things. And so the model, the facility, the design, all of those things are really state-of-the-art compared to where we are at the Draper facility.
And you mentioned at the Draper facility, while there was some programming, there was some vocational training to help people reenter into society after their incarceration. You mentioned that the programming and the resources available at this new prison site really are a forethought in the prison development rather than an afterthought. Can you talk a little bit about what all sorts of programs and vocational training will these inmates have to be able to help reenter society and reduce that recidivism?
Sure. We can even start back when they were building Utah State Prison in Draper. Part of that 700 acres was a farm operation where they would raise hay, they had cattle, they had milk cows, they had chicken for meat and eggs both, but really the thought was that they could put those incarcerated people to work, provide those things that they needed to operate, and then they actually sold things in the public, whether it was vegetables or hay or any of those things. So that part of it was there. That was kind of a vocational opportunity at the time, but at the new Utah State Correctional Facility, this programming is so much different. We start with first better assessments, right? We have a lot of data that goes into what we do these days. So we can do lots of assessments, whether it's risk and needs assessments or whether it's educational assessments or mental health assessments or all of these different things to get a better idea of how to reduce the criminogenic risk or the risk to reoffend or the risk that why they offended in the first place. And so we can address those things specifically through basic literacy first, education, even higher education, if that fits and it's appropriate. Or we start with substance abuse or substance use or sex offender treatment if they need those things, the CBTs or the cognitive behavior therapies, all of those things. So combined with education and therapy, that's a great start. But we also partner with some great folks like Davis Tech. We have these vocational programs where they can learn the culinary arts program, they can do welding, they can do all of these different vocational things. And in our labor market today, we need more laborers, right? So let's have these folks be better prepared to meet that labor need when they're released back into the community, which 9 out of 10 people who are sentenced to prison will be released at some point. So let's get them all of the tools necessary and then help give them some structure after in parole. But all of those things start the day they come into the prison. We do the assessments. We find out what those needs are and what the risks are and how to address them.
So, So let's talk a little bit about the timeline for this construction. So talks about moving the prison date back all the way to 2011, when we first created the Prison Relocation Development Authority. But this really wasn't until around 2015 where the work really started in earnest. Can you talk about kind of the timeline for the overall prison, for the prison move and the prison redevelopment?
Sure. It was a pretty strategic process done by the legislature to find a location. So the legislature selected a location, we started construction, and then we embedded some correctional experts who are on our staff, who are really national experts in safety, security, prison design, all of those things. We embedded them in the project from its inception so that as they were doing the engineer work, even before construction, all of those things, they were part of that process, so that as we move in the process, we don't end up with a facility that has cameras in the wrong place or doesn't, you know, just doesn't meet the needs. So all along in that process, it helped speed the process up. It helped it be more successful so that we have a facility now that is going to be operational the day we move in.
Because a 7-year turnaround time, that seems like a pretty tight turnaround from start of construction to end of construction. Is that correct?
It's very tight. Yeah. If you look at this, you know, there's about 300 acres that are developed out there. We'll talk about what the capacity of the new prison is, but all of those buildings, they had a plan of what that campus would look like and where the buildings would be. But then our staff and the engineers and the architects would work on the first building, and they would really get that dialed in and then start construction on it so that they could start the engineering and architect and those processes to be ready for the next building when it was time to erect that next building. So that process really did speed up the construction time.
So you mentioned that the current Draper site is around 700 acres. This one that we're moving to out there in the West Desert, is it the West Desert? I don't even know if
that's... Well, it's still Salt Lake City, so
okay,
it's not...
Okay. This one up here in Salt Lake City is around 300 acres. Can you talk about the capacity and how all those two sites differ specifically and what advantages that might give us at this new site?
Sure. If you look at total beds at the current Utah State Prison in Draper, the total beds are greater at the Draper site, but the usable beds are much, much less because those buildings being 70 years old or in that time frame. And of course, construction happened. There was expansion at the Draper site, all of those things. But many of those beds and even complete buildings are not usable. We don't have that capacity. They're old. They're dilapidated. They're just not functional. And so we don't have incarcerated people or staff in those buildings at all. So the new site will have roughly 3,806 or 7 beds total. But then we talk about operational capacity, and it will be just over 3,700. So roughly 100 or a few less than that are medical and mental health beds. Our new medical and mental health facility at the new prison is amazing. It's state-of-the-art. It's going to meet the needs of that population that lives there. But if they're housed in an area in the prison, but they go to the infirmary or they go to that medical or mental health area for treatment, we don't backfill that bed because they still need that. We still hold that for them when they return because it's a short time that they're going to spend. And so that's where we get that operational capacity.
So the ribbon cutting took place June 22nd. When is it expected that the prison will be 100% operational and up to normal operating levels?
So when we talk about specific move dates, you know, there are some safety and security concerns about moving that population and potential plans to try to facilitate an escape or something like that. And so we're not going to get specific on dates, but it will happen this summer. Mm-hmm. So we will be moved in and operational in the new prison this summer. So summer of 2022.
Okay. Can you talk generally about, you know, moving this logistical challenge of moving 2,000 plus inmates from this old facility out there in Draper to this new one on up here in Salt Lake?
Sure. So let's start with the way that we house people in the prison system. We house according to their behavior. So some people have the assumption that we house according to the crime, and the crime may play a role into their classification on where they come into the prison, but we house according to their behavior. And so we have those that are incarcerated that live in general population is what we refer to it. They live in larger groups, more open settings, those kind of things. We also have maximum security inmates. We have those that need to be kept in a more secure environment that, you know, they don't interact well with other people that are incarcerated or our staff. And so to move those folks, we also move them by their classification or by their behavior that they've modeled in the facility. And so if they're general population inmates, we can move them in a larger vehicle. If they're maximum security, we'll obviously take those precautions and move them accordingly. The one thing I do want to point out is the amount of support that we're getting from all of the state agencies, but also all of the local agencies. So I mentioned earlier that we partner with 20 of the 29 counties to house state inmates in their jails, but all 29 sheriffs are a great partner to us, and they've all offered to help with the move. And so there are counties that are both close and far, but they have capacity to assist in this move. They're excited about helping us move, and that's part of the plan to make it successful, is including our partners and those that want to help us be successful.
It's exciting. Director, is there anything in particular that you would like to communicate to members of the public about both this new state correctional facility project, as well as just generally your agency and the work that you do?
I would. Thanks, Edward. The big thing I'd really like to portray at this point is that we have a new facility that's state-of-the-art. Safety and security are at the forefront. It's a great place to work. And if you are interested in coming to work in a agency that really focuses on helping people change their lives and being successful and protecting the community in the process, we'd welcome that. If you know people that are interested or would be interested, send them our way.
Director, is there anything else before we wrap up here that you would like to communicate?
Yeah, I mentioned all the partnerships that we've had in this process, both in the move, in the construction, all of those things. But I really would like to give a big shout out to the Division of Facilities and Construction Management. Mike Ambray and their team out there have been a fantastic partner. They've been great to work with. They've done a really good professional job on this. The scale of this is amazing, and they've been just rock solid all the way through the process.
Okay, thank you. Well, Director, we appreciate the time that you've taken today, and we look forward to seeing all of the tremendous work and this new facility that you and your department have at your disposal to both help these inmates return to society as well as keep our community safe.
So, thanks, Edward. Been great to be with you.